Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Welcome to the Riot Podcast. This is Bob Schoenemann alongside Mac Daddy Cross the Ocean, Pete Robertson.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Pete. I'm good. It's hard to believe we're like 6,000 miles apart. It looks like we're in the same room.
I know. I love it. It's we're in Milan right now. We were in Switzerland the last couple of days, but we're in Milan right now.
That's what you sent me a picture of your train ride and this beautiful mountains and lake. It's gorgeous. It's one of those places I've always wanted to go. It's definitely a bucket list item for me.
It is. It's so beautiful. You know, so funny. We were down and in one part of Switzerland, it was 82 degrees. There was people packed on the beach. There were sailboats everywhere. And we're like, what? You know, we thought it was going to be cold. You know, we're going to be going up in the mountains.
Now, is this on a lake or is this on the ocean?
No, they have it's a lake, but they have these huge lakes. Like, it looks like the ocean. It's so big. Wow. So there's a few lakes. Like in Italy, there's Lake Como and Bellagio. So we went to that lake, and that's just gorgeous and beautiful. We saw all the villas and George Clooney's house and all of that. But you go to Switzerland, they have the same thing. They have big lakes there because Switzerland and Italy border each other. So it's really cool. But yeah, we're like, wow, okay, this is really neat. So we went and got chocolate because you can't go to Switzerland. You can't get their chocolate, right? So we got their chocolate. And we had this bar of chocolate. We're like, oh my gosh, it was so good. And so we're going to have to bring some people back some. Yeah. So we did that. We're like, okay, so it's 82 degrees. Wonder what tomorrow's is. So we're going up the mountain the next day. And we got to about 5,000 or 4,000 feet up. And all of a sudden, we started seeing a little bit of snow. I was like, whoa, 4,000 feet up, we're already seeing snow. So that means it's going to probably be high. We kept going up and we got to St. Moritz. I think St. Moritz is like 5,800 feet up. And we looked around and there was snow everywhere. And we're like, but it wasn't like powder packed though, right? So I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And then we said, okay, let's take a train. So we took the red train, all that, the famous red train that everybody sees. So we got in the famous red trees and we went up to about 6,800 feet and we're at 68 because I have it on my watch, right? So I have the altitude on my watch. So I'm watching my watch as we're going up 6,800 feet. And we're as far as you can see, like 15 feet of snow. I mean, it's just so, so high, so much snow. And we just took this train through this snow and obviously it's freezing and cold. And but yeah, just magical. It was just, when you see the Swiss Alps, it's like, when we go to the Tetons, you just sit there and you look at the Tetons, it's majestic. Same thing. You just get that feeling. It's just majestic. You're like, wow, this doesn't get old. And then you take pictures and it doesn't do justice, right? So it's like, what's the point of taking pictures? You got to go, But yeah, it was pretty cool. It was neat.
Sign me up. I can't wait.
Right. And we were talking to these three people from Ireland and they were sitting next to us on this train and they have this accent, how Irish people, their accent, there's three girls, yep. They're ladies, three girls, and they travel. One of them travels a lot, but the other one, it was really funny. We're watching them and all of a sudden we passed by like this graveyard site and they start doing the sign, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And there was this other, like a statue of Mary or something. They start doing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And immediately we go, okay, they're Catholic. So we're Christian. They're Catholic. I think they kill people in Ireland. Don't they have like major fights there and so forth? And it's still going on. So I'm thinking, how much do I share about Jesus or how do I do this? It was one of those. I don't think I want to cause a war right now. There's too much going on in the world.
Yeah,
don't
the Protestants and the Catholics kill each other. That's what you're saying, right? Yeah.
It's bad there. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be in Scotland in a few weeks. And there it's Protestant. John Knox, really reformed that area. So that should be kind of cool to see that. But yeah, I'm excited. Oops, I hit the thing. But yeah, that's it. So next week we'll be on Friday, I'll be in Berlin. And then we'll be just doing a Martin Luther, and we'll be in Wittenberg and Frankfurt and Erfurt and I don't know, all the other places.
So you got to get some bratwurst and a pretzel.
Lots of it. I was talking with the group leader, and he goes, do we have any Baptists on this group? And we were at a meeting, right, before getting them prepared to come to Berlin.
Yeah.
And nobody raised their hand. None of them was Baptist. They were all like non-denominational, Methodist, Presbyterian, right, whatever. He goes, okay, not since there's no Baptist, we're going to have beer. I told you the story, right? And so I was just like, this is too funny.
That's so hilarious.
They're talking about getting these beers. And I was like, I don't drink beer, but we talked about this already. So I'm going to have to figure out. You said the brown stuff. I don't know, the dark stuff. I gotta
you
know.
might want to try it. Just a little taste.
If they put me on the
in
spot.
In moderation, my friend, in moderation.
Oh my gosh, you know me better than that.
I do.
If they put me on the spot and there's a dark beer, I think, with the flavor. I think that's what you said, right? So the dark beer with the flavor.
That's what I like.
Well, I don't know. I've never drank beer before, so I don't know. So I'll try it.
Well, then
if they get it to me.
You don't have to. You can abstain. It's okay.
No, I want to try it just to see it. I'm not going to drink it.
I get it. I mean, that'd be like going to Italy and not having a glass of wine, right?
Right. That they offer it every time you sit down. You want water or wine?
Yep.
That's all they give you.
The answer is yes. I want water and wine.
Yeah.
Hey, are they talking about the Iranian attack on Israel there?
Oh, is everywhere.
I was wondering if it was big there too.
Yeah, everywhere. The European, because I watch the news pretty much every night here, they're anti-Israel. So it's really heavy, heavy pro-Palestine. Yeah. So they're very much saying Israel's overstepped their boundaries. Israel should not attack. Israel, it's overly, all the newscasts here have been against Israel. Yeah, I've noticed that. I don't know. How's the news there in U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, kind of feels similar. I mean, you got Israel just took, 300 rocket attacks? And isn't it amazing that not a single fatality, one person hurt out of?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the hand of God or what?
Oh, yeah. I read somewhere that I think Bahrain, Jordan, and I believe Egypt, I think all three of them helped with the attack, help fight the bombs and the drones.
Help defend it.
Yeah.
You had Arab nations defending Israel. Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as the UK, the US, I think France as well.
Yeah.
But,
So it was a coordinated attack and coordinated effort and everybody protected. I think only a couple bombs got through, right? It wasn't that many.
Like a handful. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, crazy.
And then I don't know what the latest, because I didn't watch today, but I think that didn't Netanyahu say that they have to defend, they have to attack or something?
Yeah, he said that last night, that you can't let this go without a response. But talk about patience. I mean, if they've been wanting to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities for the last many years, they absolutely could have done it yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you question it after being attacked 300 missiles or whatever it was?
From a Christian's perspective, we need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for Iran and the people of Iran. I mean, I've been seeing reports about Iranians saying that we don't want war with Israel. It's our government. And
I believe that. I believe that's
and
true.
And I believe there's a lot of Christians in Iran underground, too, from what I'm hearing. So, I mean, I don't know. All I know is that God's perfect will would be done. It doesn't make any sense. We hate war. We hate the tragedy, the pain that it causes, all of this. But bottom line is, you need to be interceding and praying. As you watch this, it's not, we don't have fear. We don't have worry. Maybe a little anxiousness because of, the uneasiness. I mean, we've, we have another group that's going to be meeting with us in Berlin next week. And I got 15 different people chiming in on a group text. Everything going to be okay? Should we fly there? I mean, everything is going to be okay. I mean, but I guess it's normal to have anxiety and understanding, but we don't worry about anything. And you know, how many times have we talked about this? Many times. So from our perspective, it's just pray, intercede, but man, yeah. But it's everywhere. It's on all the news. And it's, I mean, they on the news here, they have BBC, they have the Italian news, they have Al Jazeera news, they have, I don't know, like 4 or 5 different outlets from around the world. I like watching the news, by the way, here. I don't like watching the news in America. Here, it's the news. So they're still giving a biased slant. It's obvious, but it's the actual news. It's not a talk show news. It's like, here's what's reporting. Here's what's happening.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice.
Our news has just turned into like clickbait. You know, it's like just trying to get people's attention and, you know.
It's so different.
It's weird.
So different than here. Yeah. So anyway, all right. So we're going to talk about a subject.
Yeah. Let's pray and then we'll jump into the show. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity again to do this podcast. We thank you for our listeners that they take the time to listen and share this podcast with others, Lord, as we talk about an interesting and maybe a difficult topic that for a lot of people to bring up. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom in doing so, that you would just help us give words that bring life and to others and to point people to you, to give you all the glory. Father, we're going to talk about this amazing gift that you've given us. And I'm just looking forward to how this discussion goes and how maybe we can help people be able to discuss this topic even more effectively with their children and with their friends and all of that, Lord. So we just love you. We give you this show now in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is this difficult thing we're going to talk about, Pete?
You know, it's so funny. Is there's some topics or subjects you just don't want to talk about? And this, I guess, would be kind of one of those. But here's how it came about. So we're talking about sex before marriage or living with your partner before marriage, that kind of thing. And you know, as a body of Christ or as a Christian. And here's how it came about. So I'm sitting in a Bible study with people, and I'm hearing them talk, and their kids are living with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and there's no topic, there's no discussion about it. It's just going around, and it's like it's just a matter of fact. It's just that this is the way it is, and I'm listening, going, is that really how it is? And so, I talked to two different couples on one of these group trips, and they're just sitting there going, yeah. They're both doing it, but I have no idea how to talk to my kids about it. I have no idea what to say. What am I going to tell them? You know, they're not going to listen to me, right? They're on their own. And part of that, yes, it's true. And the reason being is because we really need to raise them up that way. You know, you need to raise them when they're younger and understanding these biblical truths so that when they're older, you know, they will make those decisions once they're old enough to not do it. But I mean, even looking at my own family, you know, my kids, you know, I raised them properly. I raised them up and they're still, you know, I think two of them have had sex before marriage. Right. And so, I mean, you know, I don't want to say that. I want to say, hey, my kids waited till they got married and everything was great. The truth is that's not the case. You know, this is a topic we need to talk about, and we need to talk about it from a biblical perspective. And just, you know, see how maybe we can help people maybe talk about it openly. We need to say something. Let me just say this. It should not be just like it's okay. It should not be like, hey, no problem. Go ahead and do that. We get it. You know, that's just the way the world is today. That's our culture today. And it's okay. That's not okay. The Bible is very clear. That's not okay. So we need to have a talk about it, and let's talk about it in the context of why does God say that? Why is he coming up from this perspective? And let's try to get to the bottom of it and just saying, hey, we're prude and we're you know, whatever. Let's try to have some sort of conversation and really get to the bottom of why God says that. So
Pete, I think so much of why it's difficult to talk about now is because think back of, you know, when we were growing up, it was just, they just told you, don't do it, right? Just, you know, don't do it, just save it for marriage. And they never told you why, you know, and, and if you don't give, you know, hormone enraged kids a reason why, you know, it's really easy to look past the, oh, well, they're just prudish. That's old fashioned or whatever. But God has some pretty good, pretty important designs on why you should, why it's important. And I think we need to do a better job of sharing the why and not just don't do that. Because that's not working. Just say don't do that. It's not working. So that's what hit me when you were just sharing that story about your life group. So
that's true. That's a good point.
All right. So let's get started. Sex before marriage is a complex and multifaceted topic that touches on cultural, religious, personal, and ethic beliefs. Throughout history and across societies, attitudes towards premarital sex have varied greatly. Some view it as a normal part of relationships and personal development, while others believe in abstaining until marriage for moral, religious, or cultural reasons. The debate around the issue often centers on values related to the family structure, individual freedom, and the implications for societal health and personal well-being. Because we adhere to the Christian worldview, we will only discuss this topic in relation to what is taught in the Bible. Today, we're going to address this hot topic, I see what you did there. It is so relevant and where the world is today.
Yeah, so let me just kind of, I give a little statistics. So the data that was just said, it said that by the age of 20, 77% of people have had sex, and out of that 77%, 75% have had premarital sex. By the age of 44, 95% have had sex, had premarital sex. And so it's, 95%. I was just thinking if there's anything more here, but it's common. Oops, I just dropped my stuff. It's common in our culture today. You know, I was just looking back when we, like you said, when we were kids, it was less common. At least my parents were like, hey, you're not going to be doing that. So I think the premarital sex, we still were having issues with. But I think living, you know, we're going to talk about this. I think living with the person before marriage, that was heavily pushed against us not to do. Right. Where I think today it's, you know, we're starting to find them, they're living with each other like crazy. And it's like, whoa, what's the reason behind that? You couldn't wait or, you know, so forth. So, yeah, so that's kind of, let's talk about this. Let's just break this down.
Okay.
And we'll try to talk in a way that's, you know, how do you talk to your kids about this? Because we probably have a lot of people that have kids that are older that are already in this situation, or that they're teenagers, or they're getting to that point where you want to start talking about them. So we'll try to do justice with that. So, All right.
Generally, there are two contexts for premarital sex. There's the we love each other and are committed to each other, but just don't want to wait to be married relationship. And then there's just casual sex. The former is often rationalized with the idea that a couple will surely marry, so there's no sin or harm in engaging in marital relations now. What are your thoughts on this?
So my thought is this. So I know that, let me be very careful here, okay? So say for instance, you're dating somebody and you've already talked about getting married, right? And I'm going to say this from under God now, okay? So you're under God, okay? This is not you just doing this. This is under God. You've committed your heart to a person. You are saying, we're going to get married. I believe at that very moment, God is seeing your heart and you guys are married. Does it mean you have sex before you actually do the ceremony? I think the Lord, that's funny. I think the Lord wants us to have the witnesses for accountability. It's the same thing when you go to church and your baby baptize or dedication, you know, the pastor is sitting there and says, you guys will hold the parents accountable to make sure that they're going to raise these kids, raise their kids up in the ways of the Lord. Nowadays, it's a little bit different. Back in the days, when you go to a church, you stayed at that church the whole time. And yes, you're watching little Jimmy grow up and you're seeing him grow in adolescence and you're seeing the parents grow with him. Nowadays, people change churches so quickly, the accountability is a little bit less. And I think we're starting to see it, you know, now with premarital sex and living with each other and so forth. But back to what I was saying. So is it okay to have sex before, if you're going to marry the person, is it okay to have sex before? I'm not the judge. The Bible doesn't say anything on that. But my point of it is why not just wait longer? And wait till you get married officially where there's accountability and so forth. Now, if your heart under, we're saying under God again, so I have to make sure I give this context. If your heart is just saying you're not getting married to the person, you're just trying to try them out. They say, I think it was like 84% of the people that are living with the person, the reason why they're doing it is they want to see if it works out. They want to see if they work together well. That's the reason why they're doing it before they get married. That is not contextually right. That's a sin. That's you controlling the situation and not surrendering it to the Lord.
So your first scenario, you're saying it's almost like they've made a covenant with each other and with God that, hey, this is forever, but they haven't had the ceremony yet.
Yeah, you got to remember, back in the days, you didn't have a priest or a pastor or friends and do whatever. You made the covenant in your heart. Hey, let's be married, and we're together. We're it. You know, that's what I'm saying. So that's same thing. It's not anything different. We don't have to have the signed marriage certificate to say we're married. We don't have the pastor to say that. The reason why we do that is to have us be held accountable. It's in under God. We're doing that so everybody's a witness to the commitment that you're making. Yeah. And it's a special day and it's exciting. But that's what I'm saying. So that's, I'm trying to clarify this weird line that's there, right? But if you're just having sex to have sex because it's good and you're not making any commitment, come on. I mean, that should be common sense. You're doing a disservice not only to yourself, but also to the person you're doing it with. And then casual sex, you're just opening yourself up to a can of worms.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's just so much in that. So the bottom line is, if you can wait to have sex, regardless if you're committed to be married or not, until you have everybody as your witness to be married ahead of time, it's the best. It's God says it. It's very clear. Casual sex, we're going to get into that now. So let's just talk about it now in statement two.
Yeah, let's just jump into it then. Okay, so casual sex is rampant in many societies, including our own here in America. There is, in truth, no such thing as casual sex because of the depth of intimacy involved in a sexual relationship. An analogy is instructive here. So, you know, if you were to glue one object to another, it will adhere to it. If we remove it, it will leave behind a small amount of residue. The longer it remains, the more residue is left. If we take that glued object and stick it to several places repeatedly, it will leave residue everywhere we stick it, and it will eventually lose its ability to adhere to anything. This is similar to what happens to us when we engage in casual sex. You know, Pete, I heard a pastor put it this way one time. He's like, everyone that you have sex with, you, there's basically, he called it a soul string. It's like there's a bond that's created that's not, you know, because everybody, I think it's easy to think of sex as a physical activity, but it's so much more than that. And his point was you're creating a soul bond kind of with that person that doesn't go away, you know, regardless. So you're just, so the more of those you have, I like the glue scenario. That kind of explains it well. So thought I'd share.
Yeah,
that.
It's like, you know, the two become one flesh, and you become, that's, there is a bond there. It's the other thing is there's, you lack, it lacks intimacy. So I always look at it this way. So if you're having sex with multiple people, you could try to be intimate with that person. The first person, obviously, that you've had sex with, you're going to be the most intimate because it's new, you're passionate, all those things. But now you lost the newness of it, right? So now you're trying out all the different things and you're losing that intimacy. You're losing that, the reason why sex was designed in the first place. But here's more than anything else. When you're having sex, casual sex with other people, are you glorifying God by doing it? Are you glorifying your flesh? And that's what we always have to ask the question. It's obviously, if you're doing it, it's, well, I'm not perfect and I can't control myself. And, you know, it's really hard. And you know, God understands. And, you know, I'm doing my best. And, but my hormones are raging, man. And or whatever. I mean, I don't know, whatever you want to use. But the thing is we always have to ask ourselves, is this going to glorify God? I mean, are you able to be, to minister to the person you're having sex with casual? Are you able to be a witness of Christ? The answer is no. And it's obvious. So, but every time that you have sex with different people, you're leaving a part of yourself there.
That's right.
You're becoming calloused, you know? And so it's like, you know, what happens, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to about this subject. I have no problem talking about it. A lot of people have problems with this. I don't. But some people would say that, you know, they have fantasies in their mind. They're having sex with their spouse all the time. And it's like, man, I'm thinking about this girl way back when I was in high school, or this girl, or this, or whatever, all the time. And that, if you didn't have casual sex, you wouldn't have that in your brain to begin with. But because you've had these moments or you've had these experiences in your past, you have to battle that in your brain that you should have never had to begin with. You know, and is it a sin if you're meditating on that? Yes, it's a sin. If you're thinking about someone else that's not your spouse and you're doing that because of your past mistakes, maybe you're set free today, but your past mistakes are going to come back, you know? And so, yes, that's a sin if you're doing that. You need to, the Bible says, capture your thoughts, surrender it to God, and so forth. But as we go from partner to partner, we continue to lose a tiny bit of ourselves, and eventually we may lose our ability to form a lasting sexual relationship at all. The sexual relationship is so strong and so intimate that we cannot enter into it casually, no matter how easy it might seem. And again, that intimacy. So, you know, there's something about being naked and free and unashamed with your spouse. There's something about that. And it's special. And if you're doing this multiple times, you don't have that. You're losing that. And, you know, and it's sad. And you're opening yourself up to Pandora's box. You know, anything can happen. Get pregnant. It's STDs. You know, you can form a connection. Maybe here's what happens. And I'm going to speak to a lot of people here. So there's a marriage. And you look at the marriage and they got married, good, but the marriage is in conflict all the time. I would probably say that might be not God's perfect will. They probably got into the marriage with the flesh. They probably were having sex before. They were probably having this, but you look at the conflict. There's so much conflict. You look at our divorce rate today. The reason why our divorce rate is so high today is because they're getting involved in their relationships out of the flesh, out of the lust, out of the sex, they've created this bond. This is the trap of the bond. You know, they've had casual sex. Finally, they found one that works and now they got married, but it wasn't God ordained. They didn't wait. If they would have just waited and surrendered it to God and said, God, I want you to bless this. I want to do this properly. I want to treat her like a lady. I want to respect him as a man that he needs to be. I want to lift him up. I want to do this right. Now, when you come together, it's going to be blessed by God. And a lot of times these marriages are getting in is because they've had casual sex. They find one that works and they don't really have intimacy. They have lust and now they're reaping what they sow. And unfortunately, now can God still work in marriages like that? Absolutely. He does, but it's going to take your surrender to him, and it's going to take a transformation. It's going to take a process of being you know, filtered out and helped by God to be able to have that harmony of marriage. It can happen. But a lot of people maybe listen to this and say, yeah, I have one of those marriages. It's rocky. Listen, surrender your marriage to the Lord. It can, God can bring thing, bring peace. God can bring harmony within your marriage, but you have to surrender your lives under him. But a lot of marriages are messed up because of that reason. Thoughts?
That's good. That's good. All right. So the Bible clearly condemns sexual sins. Adultery, which is casual sex between a married person and someone that is not his or her spouse. See Proverbs 6:32. You also see 1 Corinthians 6:18 and Hebrews 13:4. And fornication, which is sexual immorality in general, are specified in Matthew 15:19 and Romans 1:29, and as well in 1 Corinthians 5:1. And then, but sex before marriage or premarital sex is not addressed in that exact term, but it does fall within the scope of sexual immorality, correct?
Yeah, well, the Bible teaches in sex before marriage is immoral in a couple of different passages. One is in 1 Corinthians 7:2, which says, but since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relationships with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. In this verse, marriage is presented as the cure for sexual immorality. Sexual union within marriage, which is commended, is sex against immorality, which is to be avoided. Thus, any sex outside of marriage is considered immoral. That would have to include premarital sex. So it's people say it's not actually in the Bible. Well, if you look at it in context, it's in the Bible. So you can't really argue that. But the bottom line here too is the adultery part. So here we are talking about premarital sex, and we're talking about having living with the spouse before getting married. But the adultery part is just as bad, and it's just, and it messes things up just as much. People say, well, if polygamy is in the Bible, so it's okay. It's all over there. But the Bible very clearly condemns having multiple spouses because it's going to cause problems. If you look at every story in the Bible that has polygamy, okay, Abraham, Isaac, if you look at David, you look at all of them, there's drama and there's problems everywhere. I can tell you this, there's no way that your spouse can deal with another person in that relationship and not have a problem. There's no way. The Bible is very clear. When it says don't do certain things, there's a reason behind it. The reason behind it is it's going to cause problems. There's going to be issues with this. God is not saying, hey, I'm going to try to, kill all your fun. What he's saying is I'm trying to protect you from having all the problems that come with it. I'm trying to save you from all the headaches and the chaos and the pain and the agony. All I want to do is bless your life. All I want to do is supply all of your needs and care for you and take care of you and protect you. That's all God wants to do. He doesn't want to take away from us. He just wants to bless. And so if you're in these sexual relationships that are outside of marriage, or you're having an adultery relationship, you're going to create pain. You know it's going to happen. There's no way you're going to get away with it. There's no way that your spouse isn't going to find out. There's no way you're not going to have issues having premarital sex before. I guarantee you're going to have fights. I guarantee you're going to have pain and agony. There's no way. But if you do it God's way, you're going to have peace. You're going to have harmony. You're going to have God bless it. That's the best thing of all of it, is you want God's anointing hand to be upon your marriage, and if you choose the other way, then that's fine, but you're going to have problems. We're just telling you, we're being honest here. We're telling the truth. So
there will be consequences. Saying polygamy is okay because it's in the Bible is like saying murder is okay because it's in the Bible. That argument doesn't hold any water. All right. That's another true. Verse that presents sex before marriage as immoral is Hebrews 13:4. It says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexual immoral. Here we have both adultery and fornication contrasted with what happens in the marriage bed. Marriage and sexual intercourse within marriage is honorable. All other types of sexual activity are condoned as immoral and bring God's judgment.
Yeah, based on these passages, you know, a biblical definition of sexual morality would have to include sex before marriage. I mean, it's, I don't know how you could see that any other way. But that means that all the Bible verses that condemn sexual immorality in general are also condemn sex before marriage. So that, I mean, we can find that everywhere. Acts 15, 20, 1 Corinthians 5, 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 13, 18, 10, 8, and 2, 2 Corinthians 12, 21, Galatians 5, 19. I can go on and on and on about how many Bible verses condemn sexual immorality. So it's, there's a reason behind all of this. It's not that God's just saying, don't do it. He's saying, don't do it because I'm trying to save you from the pain and agony. We just talked about it. So is it immoral? Yes. Should we not do it? Yes. It's so what do we do if we're having problems? What if we're living with somebody right now? What if we're having sex right now with our girlfriend or boyfriend? What do we do? What should we do, Bob? What do you think we should tell people to do?
Stop.
Stop dropping low.
Why? Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't.
So here's the thing. You know, ask yourself this. Is it more important for you to have the blessing of God in your life, the anointing of God in your life, or to have God look at you and not bless you for what you're doing? That's the question you ask. I mean, what you're doing outside of marriage, or your adultery or sex or whatever, what you're saying is that I know that this is wrong, but I choose to do it anyway because it makes me feel good, because this is what I want, and I can't stop because you know, I've already started and this is just the way it is and I'm going to continue on. But how much greater, how much better would you feel if you said, you know what, Lord, I am weak in this and I need your help here. Help me stop this and help me surrender this to you. And you strengthen me to do this. But I want to do this because I want to glorify you. And I want you to be blessed in my life. And I want my body, my temple to bless you. So I'm going to choose to not do this. So how much better, how are you going to feel better? I mean, how much better will you feel one way or the other? For me, as a child of God, if I know that God is behind me, the Bible says, if God for you, nothing can be against you. If I know that God is blessing me and God's anointing is upon me and that God is loves what I'm doing and he's blessing me, to me, that's a great, yes. Is it hard? Yes. Is it difficult? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. And just think of it this way. If you're having sex before marriage, think of it this way. You wait. You say, yes, you know what? I'm going to choose to wait. And you put the boundaries in place to make sure you don't have temptation. You got to remember that. Put those boundaries in place. And you say, I'm going to wait. And maybe you messed up already, but you're going to wait. Man, just think of, now that you've done it God's way, just think of that union, that connection that you're going to have with your spouse. That you know for sure, oh man, I'm getting goosebumps. God is just going to bless that. So that's the way I look at it. Yeah, you can continue on and keep doing it. And, you know, God's going to forgive you. God's going to, you know, continue. His grace and mercy are new every day. But you're going to be miserable. There's no way that you continue on and you're going to have the same joy that you're going to have by just trusting God with it. There's no way. So, I mean, anybody that's surrendered to God and trusted God with their life will always tell you that it's worth whatever the effort is, then continue down the path that leads you to destruction in pain and agony. So I don't know, thoughts?
Yes. Not only is it glorifying God and building your relationship with God, but what is the message it's sending to your future spouse that this is sacred, right? So people that, I mean, I would love to see studies on this, but I guarantee you, people that have waited, or even if they messed up, but they started over and like, you know, hey, we're gonna make this sacred, have so much less jealousy issues because they are, you've already told your spouse, this is important. This is important that I'm going to wait and save it for the marriage bed.
Wow.
And so now you take away one of the most destructive things in a marriage, jealousy.
Yeah.
Because they already know it's important to you that you have a covenant with them and with God that you're going to wait. So why would you mess that up now after the marriage? It's just,
wow.
People are always thinking about, well, it's, you know, well, I could, I'm not going to get an STD, or I'm not going to get pregnant, or I'm not going to do this or that. What about the things that you, the other things you're giving up? You know, I've also, I've heard people, they say it all the time, like, I lost my virginity. I lost my virginity. You didn't lose your virginity. You gave it away. And you can only give it away one time.
Yeah.
So who do you want to give it?
So, yeah.
Just thoughts.
All right. Wow. Yeah, that was so, so powerful, Bob. I mean, it's so true. Jealousy is, I mean, if your spouse knows that you're the one that has casual sex all the time, or that you're the one that slept around, but now she's the one and you're still having sex, what's going on in her brain? She's still thinking, no, he's going to do the same thing. But if you say, no, I'm convicted in my heart that this is not right. I need to do what's right. And I need to surrender this to God. And now you want God to bless it. In her mind, she's thinking, hey, maybe he's serious. And you're really valuing her in such a way that's, man, it's what an honor. What a blessing. That's the greatest gift you can give to your spouse. Man, Bob, that was a home run. Wow. That was great. Thank you,
brother.
Yeah.
We know God designed sex, and we thank him for it. The Bible honors marriage. Part of honoring marriage is the Bible's promotion of complete abstinence before marriage. When two unmarried people engage in sex, they are defiling God's good gift of sex. Before marriage, a couple has no binding union, and they've not entered into a sacred covenant without the marriage vows that go along with that covenant. And they don't have the rights provided by that covenant.
So,
did you get all that?
That's yeah, deep, I did. Right? Yeah.
And
I
we
mean,
kind of
it's
talked about the covenant already, but.
Yeah, I mean, too often, I think we focus in on the recreation aspect of sex without recognizing that there's another aspect, and that's procreation. Sex within marriage is pleasurable. Everybody that's married can agree to that. And God designed it that way, but God wants men and women to enjoy sexual activity within the confines of marriage. Song of Solomon 4 and several other Bible passages, such as Proverbs 5:19, describe the pleasure of sex. However, God's intent for sex includes producing children. Thus, for a couple to engage in sex before marriage is doubly wrong. They are enjoying pleasures not intended for them, and they are taking a chance of creating a human life outside the family structure God intended for every child. So we have to understand that God created every person on the earth to glorify him. So many people do not believe in him, so they do not glorify him. But the way that God created creation or for us to have kids, he tells us to go and multiply. He told Adam and Eve, go and multiply, you know, the kids. He told Noah the same thing, go and multiply. The reason why he told him that is because he had a design for it. He says, I want you to create children so that they will be the kingdom of God to glorify me and to spread my love, my joy, my peace, my goodness, my character across the world. And so he wants us to create children to raise them up in the ways of the Lord so that they become blessings to other people. That's the reason why we're having children. We have these children because he wants them to be lights in darkness. He wants them to be a voice of truth in areas where there is no truth. And so we procreate, we have sex, we procreate so that we become agents of God. God says that we're ambassadors of the Most High. God says that we are new creations in Christ. God says that the Holy Spirit lives within us and empowers us to do the things of God. That's why we have children. We don't have children so that we enjoy their sports and their all these other things because it pleases us. We have children because God wants us to pour into them the things of God so that they can know God and that they can share God with other people, that they can multiply, that they can advance the kingdom of God. That's the reason. And so I think a lot of us forget that. So if you're having sex outside of it or you're just doing that, God's telling you that that's doubly wrong. You're taking a chance. And then look at the abortion rate today. I mean, the other day I was watching Bill Maher on a talk show, and he says, yeah, you know, the reason why we're, you know, all these liberals are against abortion is, come on, there's 6-8 billion people on the earth right now. We can't have more people. We need to keep this population under control. And that's really the truth. That's their mindset. How evil is that? But he was basically admitting that, yes, we know it's murder. He's basically admitting that. He's like, yeah, I know abortion's murder. But I mean, let's face it, we have to keep the population under control. We can't, it's not sustainable. See, this is what they're feeding people. They're saying that we can't. But Elon Musk comes out and says, no, if we just planted, you know, we can have solar for everybody if we just planted a, you know, 100-mile radius of solar things, and it'll basically solar the, you know, provide electricity for the whole world. Or if we just make these places for food or economics, whatever, it can easily take care of the whole world. But you know, they're not telling the other side of this. They're just saying the one side, no, we can't have population. We can't have that. You know how many places I've been where I'm traveling for 100 miles and I haven't seen one person? You know, we have so much land left. We have so much stuff going on. So this is just, I don't know what the ploy is here. We know that, you know, there's demonic activity behind it, you know, killing of babies. But anyway, I got off on a tangent anyway. So what was the point? What did I say again? why we have babies, why we have sex.
Back to God's design for sex and in the marriage bed, and that there's consequences. And it was doubly wrong to take in the gift without being in that covenant. So okay. Well, practicality does not determine right from wrong. Following the Bible's instructions concerning sex before marriage would really and greatly benefit society. If Bible's message on sex before marriage was obeyed, there would be far fewer STDs, there would be far fewer abortions, far fewer unwed mothers and unwanted pregnancies, and far fewer children growing up without having both parents in their home.
Bottom line, abstinence saves lives, protects babies, gives sexual relations their proper value, and most importantly, honors God. Sex between a husband and wife is the only form of sexual relations of which God approves. We just have to understand that. And it's, you know, how do I tell my kids that? Well, you should have told them that when they were 5 years old, you know, should have been telling them that, huh? Maybe you did, maybe you have, and maybe this is their choice. Pray for them, surrender it to the Lord, and just say, God, I just pray that you would open their hearts. But more importantly, just maybe ask them questions. You know, if they're already doing this, ask them questions. I mean, do you believe that the Bible talks about that we should probably not have sex before marriage? Maybe you should get married. Do ask them questions and try to create a question, not in a condemning way, in a loving way, and just see if you can have a dialogue with them. It's hard. Every relationship's different. Maybe you have an open relationship with your kids where you can talk to them freely about anything, and this will be easy to do. Maybe your kids just are mad at you and they don't like you, so it's hard. You got to pray for them. You know, just love them, point them to Jesus. You know, surrender your life to them. But I've learned with my kids, I don't give advice unless they ask me for it. So I'm really quiet. I don't give advice unless I ask. But what I do is I speak life into them. I look for ways to elevate them. I look for ways to point out the good that I see in them, and I don't point out the bad. I don't focus in on the bad. I focus in on the good. And I'm quiet, and I just ask questions just to hear them and I'm very careful of giving advice. Maybe that helps somebody there.
Yeah, and keep in mind, guys, that Pete's kids are all grown too. So when he says he doesn't give them advice unless asked, they're adults. They're all three of them. So that makes a difference, I think.
Yes, big time.
Now, my 12-year-old, I'm not going to wait for her to ask for advice.
Totally different.
What I think. All right. So is there hope? You know, if a Christian engages in premarital sex or when someone has lost their virginity and comes to Christ, the Holy Spirit will convict them of that sin, and there will be grief over it. However, it's important even vital to remember that there is no sin beyond the reach of the blood of Jesus. If we confess, he will not only forgive us, but will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So does that give us that's a get out of jail free card? Is that what that is, Pete?
You know what? That's the thing is some people can't accept this, but yes, in a way. I mean, but not only that, he restores us. Joel 2:25 tells Israel that he will restore the years the locusts had eaten. What God is wanting is a broken and contrite spirit. You know, I was just telling you a story in our pre-meeting is, you know, I was, you know, working through, I just realized I'm so imperfect in so many things, but God's not wanting me to act like I have it all together. He just wants me to be broken and contrite. And if I'm in the midst of you know, what's repentance? So if I'm in the midst of having sex and I say, oh, God, forgive my sins, you know, or you got caught or whatever, but you continue on in it, then you're not really repenting. You're mourning you got caught or whatever that was, right? So repenting is like, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And now you put boundaries of things in place so that you don't continue doing it. You don't meet together alone anymore. You don't go to a drive-in theater. Do they have drive-in theaters anymore? You don't do these things anymore. You don't do things. You don't go over the house alone together. You have chaperones. You have people around. You do things in a way so that it's pleasing. It's holy. And you protect yourself from that. So that's what God is asking of you to do. You know, this is a hard subject, but you know, too many people, I mean, I think today everybody in the church is like, we're going to church, pastors are sitting there and they're, all these people are living with each other. And it's like, you know, it's a sin. It's just know that it's hindering your relationship with God. For one, you can be living with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're not going to have a real close relationship with God living in sin. It's just not going to happen. I mean, that's the same thing with, you know, with us and any of these hangups or stuff that's going on in our own life. If we're not surrendering them to God and being broken, it's messing our intimacy with God. And so, you know, that's the bottom line. You know, it's not going to help you. It's just going to hurt you. So do it God's way. It's going to bless you. It's going to help you. So anyway, if anybody's listening to this and they haven't given their life to the Lord, I mean, now is the time. Maybe your heart is saying that, you know what, I've been living in premarital sex and doing this wrong for so long, and I want to do it God's way. What do I got to do? Well, just first and foremost, give your life to Jesus. Just say, Lord, come into my heart. You know, you need to repent. You need to say, God, forgive me of my sins. You need to acknowledge that he's God. And Lord, I believe that Jesus, you are God, that you died on the cross and rose again on the third day, and that you did that to forgive my sins. You did that to give me eternal life. You did that so that you can live within inside of me. And when you pray, you pray with a broken and a contrite heart. You just say, oh God, forgive me. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I turn from my wicked ways. And today I choose to live and serve you. And if you do that, the Bible says that all the angels in heaven rejoice. They're celebrating what you're doing right now. And more importantly, you need to tell somebody. You need to start putting boundaries. You need to start putting things in place to help you to walk closely with God. You need to get involved in a healthy Bible-believing church and surround yourself with like-minded people. Surround yourself with people that will help you walk closely with God. Bob, we would love to hear from you. How could they can get a hold of us?
Yeah, absolutely, Pete. I think the best way is just go to our website, theriotpodcast.com. You can, we've got tons of information there. Scroll down. You can even do the contact us page and we'll reach out to you and help you out, answer any questions you have. You can also jump on any of our social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. In fact, if you have never watched the podcast or didn't even know you could do that because you're just listening to a podcast, you can go to YouTube and actually watch and see Pete's amazing hair. So you don't want to miss out on that. And, you know, we just love to hear from you. So there's opportunities in all those places to comment, to share it with a friend, somebody you think might benefit from the podcast. And just by sharing it and liking it, it helps the algorithms. I have no idea how that works, but somehow it helps it get in front of more people. So we would be honored if you would do that. But Pete, thanks for joining me from halfway around the world.
This is fun.
The rest of your trip is amazing, and I hope this podcast helps some people out.
Yeah, be blessed, everyone. We love you.
This has been the Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of the Riot Podcast.